Father, we thank you so much for this day together. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you not only give us instruction, but you give us the power to respond and to obey. So I pray right now in Jesus' mighty name that you will renew our minds and our hearts, that your word, especially your prayer, would not be something so familiar that we dismiss. Make it new again for us, Lord. Renew the power of the Lord's Prayer in us. And more than anything, may we become the Lord's Prayer. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let's do the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. When I was maybe in my early 20s, I thought I wanted to be an artist, okay? And so I was thinking, how do I work without feeling like working? So I applied to a museum internship, and I got this internship with the Getty Museum. And I know you might think like, oh, Getty, cool. Actually, it was Getty sponsoring ghetto art, basically. So it's like, it was in the city of, I think it was in the city of Norwalk, and I was doing an art internship to mentor young artists. And one of the things that they gave us, aside from, you know, a paid internship, which was really cool, like, oh, you get paid as an intern, right? Was that you got to go to the Getty when it was closed. And you got to have your own little field trip with the other interns to the Getty. Now, unlike you high-class people, I've never been to the Getty at the time. I was like, what is that castle up on that hill? Right, I was like, dude, some Cinderella lives up there. And if you've ever been, and many of you guys have gone on dates there, you know, it's a really beautiful place, as you guys know. But one of the most fascinating parts for me was when I arrived, I was shocked because we didn't get to go to the Getty. We had to park far away from the Getty, as you guys know. And then you take this tram, you take this little train up this windy road, up the hill, all the way up to the museum. And I don't know about you, but for me, it was how we entered that space that prepared me to experience the place properly. How you enter a certain space prepares you to appropriately engage and experience the place you are going to. I love this quote, and you guys heard me quote Matthew Frederick before in his book, 101 Things I Learned in Architecture School. He says, your experience of an architectural space is determined by how you enter it. Your experience of an architectural space is determined by how you enter it. It's amazing because even like churches now, and you guys wouldn't know this, but like when you guys go to like, when pastors go to church conferences to learn about church management or whatnot, there's all kinds of conferences for pastors, but especially ones that deal with like, how do you deal with the organization? It's funny, even churches are now realizing that so much of what we experience here, they say happens from the parking lot all the way to here. how a person experiences the church after they park all the way into the entry of the sacred place really determines how they're going to enter it and experience it. So we find that it is no different with this spiritual space called prayer, dialogue with God, this spiritual architectural space that we're supposed to enter every single day. And I really believe that because we have not captured what Jesus is teaching in that first sentence, we do not experience fully what we're supposed to experience at the rest of the museum. I tell you what, I was so blown away when maybe it's just me, but going up the tram, I was like a little kid looking through the window going, there's the museum, there's the museum. And when I got there, I had already been primed for that space. And then I walked around and I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Everything was so beautiful. It made such an impact on me that when Michelle finally got me, I took her to the Getty Museum. Do you remember that? And then, like a nerd, I didn't know people don't do this anymore, but like a nerd, it was like a proposal, guys. And I gave her a fancy watch, and I asked her to be my girlfriend there. That's how much that space... I'm veering off, aren't I? Okay, sorry. So how did people enter the space of prayer before this moment Jesus taught about the Lord's Prayer? You have to understand how radical, how much of a departure this sentence was and is. That he would start with the words, Our Father. You see, the Jewish people entered, or their tram was called the Shema. And the Shema was their first line or their entry to prayer and worship. And it's based off of Deuteronomy where it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. They entered through a tram called Shema, and it was proclamation that God was one, and that we were to love God with all of our heart, soul, and strength. So if we were to put this entry or this pathway to the architectural space of prayer and God's presence, they would say something like, Hear, O Israel, or maybe their first few sentences would be something like, I pledge allegiance. Versus what Jesus teaches God's people, which is Our Father. I want you to hear the difference between I pledge allegiance or Hear, O Israel, and compare that to Our Father. Let me do it again. I want you to imagine yourself as a Jewish person praying or entering the space of God with this tram taking you there. And it's, Lord, you're one. You deserve our worship. Or another way I can say it is, you deserve our pledge of allegiance. And then Jesus comes and says, say something different. Say, Our Father. We are not even tackling the issue of how Gentiles enter that space. Gentiles enter that space by saying, O Master, O Lord, O King. The rest of their prayer time is shaped by how they entered that space. If I can give you a side note or a side homework, this week, I would love it if you guys I know many of you guys messaged me saying you're praying the Lord's Prayer. Some of you are doing day and night. It's awesome. I want to encourage you to stay at Our Father for a moment this week. When you do the Lord's Prayer, especially those of you that are doing in the morning or at night, I want you to sit there, and as you're about to pray, whether it's in your car or at home or next to your bed, I want you to stay and sit there and say, Our Father. And I want you to let those words take you into His presence. That there's something about those words that is going to reframe how you experience God. Now, you guys remember, last week we talked about how the Lord's Prayer in general fixes your vision. Remember this, right? And it fixes your vision of God, and it fixes your version of Father. To the point that when you really believe and pray the Lord's Prayer, you will find that the way you see God is aligned with God's Word, and the way you imagine Him to be Father really takes away all the distorted versions of Father that you've experienced in your life. And then all of a sudden you realize, as you enter into prayer and as you pray the Lord's Prayer, you realize God is really good. God is actually really good. And seeing this in this prayer, I'm going to pray with faith. I'm going to pray with hope, because He's a good, good Father. Or another way to say it, the way Jesus said it, was this: which of you, man, if your son asked for a fish, will give him a stone? And then He says, hello, how much more would your heavenly Father give you what? The Holy Spirit, if you ask of Him. How much would He give of Himself to you? Some of us are still at last week, still in need of your vision and your version of God to change. You need to pray the Lord's Prayer every day and ask God to change your vision and your version of the Father. But then why are we still on Our Father? And then why did Jesus use Our Father? Well, instead of me giving you the answer, I want Jesus to give it to you. Because He hints at it. He hints at why He used these words. And it's in the context of this teaching. And He says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, right before He teaches us to pray Our Father, He says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But then He says in verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room. If you're taking notes, I want you to just highlight a room, or maybe write the word room. Close the door and pray to your Father. Let me say that one more time. But when you pray, here comes the hint. Here comes the context and the hint to why He is praying, or leading us to pray this way, leading us to enter God's space like this. He says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And then just two sentences later, we see Jesus saying, and then this is how you should pray, Our Father. So Jesus gives us not only words to pray, but He gives us a place to pray. Have you ever wondered that? Where do I pray? All right? Where do I go to pray? Some of us love to pray walking. Some of us love to pray in our cars. I love it. Just give me anything. You want to pray while you're skipping? Go ahead. You want to pray while you're swimming? Go ahead. Pray and dialogue with God every day, however you like. I love it, okay? But as long as we're in this space right now of reflecting and examining what Jesus is teaching us about prayer, isn't it safe to say maybe we should pray where he tells us to pray? Not just say what he tells us to say. So where does he tell us to pray? In the room. In the room. And then he says to close the door. What are you talking about, Jesus? Especially in this era when people didn't pray in rooms. And especially when their houses are not like yours and mine. Meaning, they don't have 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, and a backyard. Most of their spaces are open. Come on, somebody. What is he talking about here? Well, we have to examine the word room. The word room in Greek, it means the inner chamber or the secret place. Okay, now we're going to tie the space or the place with the words he gives us, okay? But then when God's people heard Jesus teach this, okay, they heard something else, because their word for room, okay, their word is talit. And talit means, tal means tent, and ith means little. Jesus is saying, when you pray, go to your little tent. Huh? What is the little tent? The first thing we have to ask is, if there's a little tent, there is a big tent. What was their main tent in their imagination? It was the tabernacle of God. It was the tent in the wilderness that housed God's presence in the Holy of Holies, where the priest once a year will go past the inner curtain and one-on-one with God and his presence will make intercession for God's people. And God, or Jesus, says, when you pray, I want you to go to your little tabernacle. And you have to ask yourself, where is that little tabernacle? Well, the Jewish people had a little tabernacle called the prayer shawl. Okay? And this is their prayer shawl. What's crazy is every Jewish man had a prayer shawl. So when Jesus says, go to your little tent or your room, he was saying, first of all, I hope you catch this, everybody can meet God. Not only the priests or the holy ones, because every one of you has a prayer shawl. That means every one of you should expect to enter God's house. Come on, somebody. He democratized that moment. And then every Jew that prayed, they knew exactly what Jesus was talking about, because every time they prayed, what did they do? They would cover their heads like this. And then they would close the door. And they would pray. Let me do it again. Ready? When you pray, go to your little tent. And what the Jews used to call this space here, And this here, they used to call it their little tabernacle. If you look in the screen, you'll see that tabernacle on top of it. Jesus is saying, when you pray, Our Father, I'm about to teach you what to pray, but before I teach you what to say, I need you to go to this space. And this space is right here. And then I want you to close the door. Why? Why does he want us to do that? Because our Father, when you're about to say our Father, you're about to say the first line of the sentence Jesus gives you. In this space, he says, now in this space, I want you to say, Our Father. Jesus is saying this. Are you ready? God, your God, is right here. Some of you are already ahead of me going, but PB, next week, most likely, you're going to preach on God who is in heaven. Okay? Calm down. We're not there. I want to say this to you. When he says, our Father, he is not designating a title to God. He is exposing or showing you the proximity of God. When you pray our Father, he's saying that's how close he is. Close as your breath is to you. That's how close your Father, God, is. And when you're in that space, it's one-on-one. It's absolutely intimate. It's you and your Father. And he says, it's here. It's here that I want you to pray. Because it's here that God can say what he needs to say to you. And it's here that you can say what you need to say to God. But when you're out here, we make up words. We make it clean and good and articulate, poetic, religious, right? People might hear it. People might hear it. But when he says, go to your room and pray our Father, he's saying, what would you pray? I hope you catch this. What would you pray if nobody else was listening? What would you pray, guys? That is what God wants to hear. What would you pray, guys? Lord, when you're sitting next to someone here, you're like, this is not part of my sermon, by the way. This is really dirty. Lord, I don't want to say certain things in front of these people. But when you're alone with God, I don't know about my marriage, Lord. It's hard. Oh, I'm still lonely. Oh, I wish I was more connected. I wish you get what I'm saying? Oh, I also have things I like to really confess because I don't like to say these things in front of others. Can I confess some stuff to you? And the Lord's saying, right here, we can do it all right here. I really believe that the thing that many of us are missing in our life with God is that intimate space with God. PB, I just don't have the fire like I used to. PB, I don't know if I want to serve anymore. PB, I don't know where my passion for the Lord has gone. I know, I get it, it's hard. But the answer that you're looking for is not found in other people. And it's not found in a better, cooler church. And it's not found in any other thing or person than that intimate space with God. I can't stress that enough. Some of you are like, if I just get X, Y, and Z, I will be happier. I will be stronger. I will be whatever. But the Lord is saying, the thing that you're looking for is found in me. And where you're going to find me is in that secret place. And how you're going to get my attention is when you realize in faith that I'm your Father. BB, that's weird. All right. So why does God like to do this? If you think about it, if you're in this space, okay, imagine if you are like in a small little closet with your friend. Okay, that's weird. What if you were in a small little tight space with your loved one or somebody, right? You would never raise your voice. Isn't that true? Have you ever talked to like your spouse in the bathroom, right? I'm talking about small, but some of you guys have gigantic bathrooms. I'm talking about normal human bathrooms that are like really small. You don't yell. In that small space, you talk. Hey, no, hey, you don't talk like that. So we know that the volume even that's hinted here is that in that space, it's a quiet space. But then some of us are like, but I thought God likes to talk loud. I thought he likes to get our attention. And many of us will point to like Matthew 3 when Jesus is getting baptized and we hear that God speaks from the heavens that this is my son and who I am well pleased. And it was like, the scripture says it was like thunder and everybody heard it. So we're all like, man, God loves to shout it out. But I want to say that God used that volume of a voice only because that baptism was a public declaration that his son is the king. It's coronation time. But what is the normal tone of God's voice, if I can say? Baby, you know the tone of God's voice? Maybe. Okay, and we'll land the plane with this. 1 Kings 19 says, and this is the Elijah the prophet is hiding out in the cave, okay? And he's discouraged that he needs God to speak to him. And verse 11, it says, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his... Oh, I just hope you catch this. When Elijah heard the whisper, he knew it was God. He pulls the cloak over his head. Come on, somebody. And went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Is that powerful or what? God isn't in the earthquake. God is not in the thunderous storm and winds. And it's almost like God is trying to not get your attention. Or should I say, it's only when you're giving him all your attention that you could actually hear him. Perhaps that's why he's saying you need to get to a room so quiet that all this noise disappears. And when all those noise disappears, you pray, Dad, Father. And then what I love most about this is then he comes and he says that God's voice is a gentle whisper. And I love what Pastor Mark Batterson, he's a pastor of a church in Washington, D.C. He wrote a book about God's voice. And I love what he says. He says, do you know why God chose to whisper? He says, God chose to whisper because when you whisper, you can't help but physically get close. He said, there's no way to hear a whisper unless you're in the proximity of that person, unless you are very near. You see, we have a lot of sentences to go in the Lord's Prayer. Some of you guys that have been here a long time, you guys know that when I do a series and I unpack sentences, I usually unpack the first two sentences for about 3 months. I know that, okay? I promise you we'll move forward, okay? But isn't that interesting that when he's about to teach the words, he says, go to this place, and this place is known to be the little tabernacle, and this little tabernacle is marked by quietness. And we find that God loves to whisper. What you need in your life, church, can I say this to you? You need a lot of silence. You need the noise to disappear. And before you say these words, our Father, you need to find your secret place. Wherever this is, go there. Go there. Mark it. Find it. Designate it. Nobody needs to even know. Your spouse doesn't even need to know where this is. It is the space between you and God. I look at my mom who... honestly, she's been in this faith now her whole life, most of my whole life. She met the Lord with me on her back. I'm 45. I think I was almost one. So at least 44 years, my mom, I have never seen her waver in her faith, ever. That is crazy if you think about this. Many of you guys can attest to this. Your parents, you guys are like, oh, that sounds like my mom or dad. They just never budge. Have you ever seen those kind of parents that believe in the Lord? You're like, this should make you budge. We just went bankrupt. They're like, we need to praise the Lord. What? Hey, mom, we're broke. We can't even afford a telephone. Do you remember telephones? My mom's like, we need to offer the Lord a praise of thanksgiving. Bring all the money you have. What? Mom, we have no time for anything. It's okay. We need to go serve the Lord. Let's go to church. What? How is this woman never wavering? I tell you what, I know the secret. Because if I go to the house that we grew up in, I can take you to her prayer closet. There is an actual closet that I know she prayed in. You know how I know? You know how I know? Not only because I've sometimes heard her pray, but you know how I know? When I go into that closet, which I have as a kid, there is always a knee pad there. And there is that Bible. And there's that Korean hymnal, which is usually this thick. It was like, bam, bam, bam. And I went, oh my God, this is her secret place. How does she endure? How does she stay married? How does she stay sane? She had an intimate relationship with God. Listen, we're done, okay? I'm going to pray real soon. But I really, as your pastor, I really have a word for you. There's this, now listen, I don't want to discourage you from this. Like, some of you guys are like, well, there's this huge fad right now. Everyone's finding a therapist. Everyone is finding a spiritual director. Everyone's finding whatever. Awesome. Awesome. I have one too, okay? So it's great. I'm not saying you shouldn't get help. But even with that, are you listening to me? Do you guys remember the thing I said to you guys in the beginning of the friendship series? Even with all your help, even with all the therapy, even with all the drugs, which I have them all, I can out-drug you. There is still a shape in my life that longs for God. And I'm telling you, your whole life is shaped God. And your whole life is longing for this intimacy with God. I'm telling you, some of you have been Christians for so long, but you know I'm telling you the truth. You don't want to go there. You're like, I know. I've heard this so many times over the years, PB, but I don't want to go there. I don't want to go to that secret place with God. I don't want to see him face to face. But I want to tell you something. Jesus takes away all fear because he says, what? This is what you say when you're face to face with him. You say, Dad. That's what you say. Not, I'm sorry. Not, I'm embarrassed. Not, can you, will you? He says, Dad. And then when you pray, I want you to pray in your little tent, knowing that Dad is not over there. Dad is right here. How would you enter the architecture of prayer if you took this tram instead of any other tram? So this is what I like for you to do. Last week, I'll just end with this. Last week, we said that the Lord's Prayer is a corrective of vision, and it shows us that God exists, that God is good, that God cares, right? But today, I want you to know, if you can show that poster or that slide, that not only does God exist, not only does God care, but God is near. We now know that he's not just living, he's not just there, and he's not just a kind God, that this God actually is very close to us. He's not far, guys. And he says, you'll find me there when you can get quiet enough to hear my whisper. So your job is now not just to say these words, but go to that space where no other sounds distract you. So this is what I'm going to do. Again, last week or whenever we had the Abide prayer and we got to pray for you, and it was really good. This week, I have a homework for you. Okay, I know you won't all do it. Okay, I have a very sober judgment of myself now. Okay, I've been doing this for 14 years. I now know not everyone is going to do it. Okay, but for those of you that are serious about this, this week, I want you to go find your secret place. Locate it. Your kids cannot find this place. Okay, if your kids have access, not a secret. It's actually a horrible place. Find somewhere that nobody can find you in. Find somewhere your phone can't bother you. Hello? And then the second thing I want you to practice this week as you pray the Lord's Prayer. Are you ready? Say yeah. Okay. Not only find your secret place, but I want you to spend the majority of that time in silence. PB, what are you doing? Listen to me. He just taught us that he already knows everything we need. God already knows. What you need is not for him to pay attention. What you need is for you to pay attention. You're like, but are you sure you got this one? I also have this other request. Are you sure you got that one? Are you sure you got this one? And we're so controlling even in our prayer. The Lord's saying, get quiet. Get quiet. If you just hear me, life changes. Your whole life changes on a whisper. The courage you need, the strength you need, the endurance you need comes from the very word of God. So this week, secret place, okay? If you're serious about this, and get silent. PB, what happens if I fall asleep? Fall asleep. That means you need a nap. That's probably a big problem in your life. My favorite pastimes growing up is I will go to my secret place. I will pray in silence. And then about an hour later, I wake up. I'm not even kidding. I really believe it was the most intimate time of my life with God. I felt so close to him. And then I would wake up so refreshed. Let's pray. Right now, even in your imagination, I want you to think about your tram up that Getty Museum. I want you to imagine how you enter that space. And ask the Holy Spirit right now, where would you like to meet me? Go ahead. The Holy Spirit can show you. Right now, go ahead. Where would you like to meet? For some of you, you already know. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit now, when would you like to meet? When will it be the most quiet? When will my world be the most quiet? So where and when? Because we know what to pray now, right? We already know what to pray. We're going to pray the Lord's Prayer. But you got to find out where and when. Okay? Today, after I pray a blessing over you right now, I'm going to leave the space open. If we can, media team, if you guys can play whatever you were playing, just really like, I want to invite you today not to come up, not to get prayer. I want you to practice silence before God. Right in front of your seat, there's a little lever that comes down, and you can even kneel before God, okay? If you want to do that. If you want to sit, stand, it doesn't matter. Even if it's for a minute, I want you to practice breathing the name of God quietly in his presence and listening. Okay? And those of you that are not doing that, you're free to go. Make space for those that are seeking the quiet place. Okay? Father, I thank you so much for this time. I thank you for our church. I thank you that through your Son, Jesus Christ, we can call you Dad. And that we don't have to go somewhere. We don't have some pilgrimage to take to meet you. You meet us right here, as close as our breath is. You are here. teach us how to be quiet in your presence. Teach us how to silence the earthquakes. Help us to hear your voice this week. I bless this church in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May Christ be victorious in your lives. Amen.